What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I'm glad you're here to join us for another edition of Philly Fridays here on Fet Life Station, FetLifeStation.com. You can also catch us on all of your mobilizing streaming podcast networks or outlets at the True Story Podcast Network, the True Stories Podcast Network. Find us on all those different platforms. Catch us, LWAP, everybody getting it in on Fet Life Station. Well, as you all know, you're here, you're locked in. You're not going anywhere. Not only did we lock the door today, we barricaded it. You know, there's no way out. You're going to have to tunnel your way through. All right. And it's just been a privilege, as always, to sit here and rock out with the family, you know, and get down with the get down. So what's been going on in the world since the last time we had our little powwow? It looks as though President Donald Trump has gone out of his way and on his own to arrest the president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, over the past week, and now he's saying something to the effect that. You know, this is looking more and more like an oil heist. He's saying that there's going to be over 50 million barrels of oil brought to the shores of America. We're going to have access to that oil. This is, when you think about the global politic and the reshuffling of the different pieces on the chessboard, these are the things we're talking about in terms of the move that many of you are like, what the hell is he doing with Venezuela? You know, for those who don't know, this is similar to what happened in Iraq. This is similar to what happened in Libya. This is where the wealthy and more powerful nations decide to go out of their way to basically put their nuts on the table. And so what you have here is you have a president who, by the way, with no pushback from Congress, the Senate, you know, your congressmen, congresspeople, all the ones that have been critiquing him over, you know, the DEI policies being drawn back, the whole situation with, getting... you know, taking people and removing them from this country. Nobody has said too much about nothing. None of his major critics have really opened up and spoke anything about this particular situation, which is kind of, you know, it's kind of like, wow, what the, you know, what are we witnessing here? What are we watching going down? So, you know, I digress. I leave that to y'all as you see, you know, what's happening in the world. So I'm not even going to pretend to, like, have all the information or be able to discern everything that's going on here. I just know that there's a lot of oil in play. And it looks like it's coming to America by hook or crook. You know, hey, listen. That's just seems like the capitalistic way of running the world. Now, I'm not either for or against capitalism, but this is wild. It's just, we're going to wait to see the outcomes. All right. But, you know, the one thing that has always stayed the same is, yeah. The one thing that has always stayed the same is the plight of black men. All right? And where's my darn clips at? Because, all right, the plight of black men in America. And I want y'all to, hold on, where's that real quick? I'm messing up here with the, I gotta find it again. Hold tight, y'all. I had everything together, and like three or four times I tried to put this joint together, and I'm trying to tell you, man, some monkey wrench and came out of nowhere. So peep this, right? I want y'all to peep this real quick. Check this out. This is Boris Koyo, and he's talking about the plight of black men, just being a black man. And I think it's important to hear, because this is a message that I think we need to consistently run down to people, because apparently to many, it's not so hard. So check this out.
Because black men deal with a lot. We have a lot on our shoulders in our communities. There's a lot of weight. There's a lot of resentment, frustration. We've been subjected to so much systemic bullshit. We're not like animals who have an instinct that helps them load shed. When an antelope runs away from a lion and it gets away, I don't know if you ever saw that, but the antelope will shake violently for 30 seconds. And that's the animal getting rid of trauma. And then they just move along like nothing happened. We don't do that as human beings. Our trauma is compounded in us over years and years and years and years and years. Some of us go and we find sports as an outlet, but a lot of people, a lot of black men sit there in their trauma for decades.
Yeah.
Right? So these kind of forums are very important. And actually, you can duplicate that in your communities. Right? And get together with your friends, four at a time. You go to dinner or whatever. You cook dinner at home and you invite three of your boys and you just fucking talk.
Yep.
It helps, because we find alliances in each other, and we also find comfort and support just by saying, hey, I need help. Can you help me with this? I need to talk about this. So again, I want to applaud you guys, because you really started this. I hope it's not a trend. I hope it's a movement that allows us as black men to share and to be vulnerable and to help each other.
Just what we do.
Yeah,
that's people, great. You know, the guests give us that range. But I want to ask you what we ask all our guests. Your biggest pivot in life, that's a moment or moments that you can look back on and say, because of this, I am, you know, who I am. And feel free, like RC say, to show off, you know, show people how intelligent you are. You can really.
So that was just basically Boris talking about how what life is like as a black man. And brothers, I play messages like that because you need to hear it. You need to hear it more so, because too many times we take on so much of the world. And we've been put into this box where to ask for help is to give off the presumption of weakness, and to help each other you know, is we treat it like it's blasphemy, you know, akin to something that's taboo in our communities and so forth. And so we like, even to tell another brother that you love him without people kind of, you know, coming at you sideways, calling you gay or this, that, and the other. You know, whatever happened to being able to just tell people that you love them because they mean something to you? And love is a very powerful force in the world. And we're deprived of that even within ourselves. So I say that because we out there chasing, and it's funny that Eddie Murphy used to play the character Buckwheat off of The Little Rascals on Saturday Night Live back in the 80s. And one of the songs he would sing is Wookin' Panub and All the Wrong Places, right? Black men, we're looking for love in all the wrong places, all right? So this is one of the things where we need to show ourselves some love, be grateful and graceful with one another, because the world is not going to become an easier place for any of us. All right. So I just wanted to run that down, you know, as we transition again, right, to another segment of the show. And I guess the two are connected, interconnected, because we have a problem, black men in America. And one of the problems we have is this. This is one of the problems we have. Hold tight, hold on. We have this problem, this epidemic, because we get caught out chasing. Now, hold tight, hold up.
Don't wait long for your whole season, because your body going to drop, your titties going to drop, you're not going to have them good tight legs no more, and you're going to turn into mush. So get your whole season on now. Stop letting men tell us what they think a woman should be. They done been a woman before.
Yeah, y'all heard it right. This is the advice that women are giving each other in regards to, you know, dealing with the opposite sex, dealing with us, right? This whole concept of a hoe phase, right? For which, if you talk to a lot of people, there's no real hoe phase. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up, okay? There's a reason why I'm bringing this up. But I want y'all to check out our good friend Shay Sade, as she breaks down something in regards to with dealing with people with body count, right? Because you just heard Boris talking about, like, trauma, right? We take in. Listen to this.
I think a lot of the times what women don't want to talk about is, it's like, you have these, get more bodies. Now, one day you want to settle down and try to have a happy housewife life. And it's like, after having all these bodies and having all this memory of these different men going in and out of you, you think you're not going to just be able to just sit down one day and submit to a man and stay loyal to a man after you've had all those different bodies and all those different spirits going in and out of you? And so it's like, not only is there, to me, there's the physical risk that you can have, whether it's pregnancy, whether it's STDs. Some of these dudes could be, who knows? I mean, some of the guys could be dangerous. Who knows? But even apart from that, now you're talking about, this is more experience, more and more experience, more mileage you're adding to your body. And then if you think you have some of these men, and some of these men literally have for a living. So if you're, for lack of a better term, you're going and you're engaging in prostitutes, you're engaging with men who basically their profession, apart from whatever else they do on the side, is to pleasure women. You go and have those experiences. Now, any and every man that you interact with, you're going to be judging based upon that. You're going to be judging based upon that fantasy. And then now you're supposed to just sit down one day and then just have a happy-go-lucky and be satisfied in that relationship. Now compare him to that fling that you had in Jamaica. And so I think also women start setting themselves up because it's like there's more mileage. And then now you're creating an appetite for something that is largely unrealistic. And then now everything that you do, every man that you attempt to date, every man that you try to settle down with, if you're even trying to do that, you're now going to judge based upon that lens. Nobody's going to measure up. You can't have multiple men and act as if you're not going to have repercussions. Some theory suggests that anytime a woman has a man, he literally leaves his genetic material in her body. If you think about it, just the anatomy of a woman, right? Anytime a man is entering into her woman, times that by 10, 20, 50. Let's say you're a woman walking around with the genetic material of 50 men in your body. That ain't gonna mess up your pH balance. That ain't gonna mess up your hormones. That ain't gonna mess up your psychology. Like, we act like we can do these behaviors and there's no repercussions, and that's not real life. That's maybe what you see on televisions. That's maybe what we see in these different series. But the reality of how it impacts you, it's not just physical. It's not just emotional. It's spiritual. It impacts you on every single level. This is why I don't agree with that.
And what she's speaking to is this whole notion that, you know, that came from the women's sexual liberation movement that was coagulated in the 90s, I mean, excuse me, in the 70s. And I say that because there was a mass conspiracy to get women into this mode. This is a fact. This is not fiction. There's documentaries based on this particular dialogue that took place between Cosmopolitan magazine, Playgirl magazine, the women's liberation movement, I mean the sexual liberation movement, and women's suffrage movement. It all took place in the 70s. All right, now fellas, you might be asking, well, why you keep bringing this up? You know, Prof, I'm bringing this up because these are the women that you chase. These are the women that you sit back and you complain about, and when you can't figure out why can't she, you know, why I was a good guy. I did everything I was supposed to do. I was loyal. I was faithful. I took care of all the responsibilities, the so-called manhood responsibilities. Why is it that, you know, she's breaking off engagements with me? Why is it that she's cheating on me? Why is it that, you know, you're good but not good enough? And I'm trying to tell you, this is what you're dealing with out here. And to go one further to what Shay was talking about, these are soul ties, not just because the genetics that she's talking about that's left in these women, because let's face it, there are too many abortion clinics, too many day after pills to think that everybody's out here using condoms or some sort of, you know, barrier type protection when they're having intercourse with one another. All right. Even if they use the condom the first two times, the third time, you know, it's slip and slide. We going in. All right. That genetic precursor that she's talking about, that is something that crosses the blood-brain barrier. That's something that crosses the... That is something that is impacted, so it's imprinted. And you can research everything I've telling y'all, you know, because, you know, I don't make this stuff up. I don't even go looking for it. Half the time, it just falls into my lap. Then I'll research it to make sure that, you know, it's on the up and up. But check that out. All right. And then there's, you know, the whole notion of not being able to manifest a connection with you. And this is, you know, I'm speaking about this because once upon a time, this was taboo. Right. This whole notion of hookup culture was taboo. But now it's out there, and then you're finding out you have some ladies with 25 bodies. You have some ladies that have been with over 50 different men. Then you find out they start triple digits. Once they get into triple digits, like, is the chances of them actually settling down and not having trauma bonding relationships are slim to none. And the woman's psychology is different than the man, because a man is designed to sort of, you know, conquer. A woman is designed to nest. She's not designed to be bouncing off of, you know, different eggplants every night. It's not supposed to be like that. And then it's always, there's the sexual confusion that comes with this. So, boy, I'm telling you, it gets exhausting sometimes. But I'm talking about this for a reason. Because this culture that we're dealing with is divulging into a, it's not divulging, it's divulged into a place, evolved into a place. Well, I say devolved, I should rather say, into a place where it makes, like, your dream girl, right? Now, we know there's no such thing really as the dream girl, right? But every man wants, no man wants to assume that the woman that they get with has been with multiple partners, like a sizable amount of partners, right? I want you to check out this joint that, because I was watching this a while ago. This is something that came up a while ago, and I was kind of like, you know, I wasn't surprised by it because I had heard similar stories, but not this person in particular. But I want y'all to hear, this is Gilbert Arenas, right? Former NBA basketball player, former All-Star for the, back then they were the Washington Bullets. They became the Washington Wizards. I'm not sure if he was there during the transition to the Washington Wizards. But I want y'all to hear something he said about what happened to him at a basketball game. He wasn't playing. He was actually sitting in the stands for a basketball game. I want y'all to hear what this brother had to say about his experience at this basketball game. Check this out. Hold on.
That time, 2003, 2004, went to the playoff series. And Halle Berry's walking by. And I'm like, oh, shit, Halle Berry, bro. Like, fine. And it was like four, five white dudes sitting there. Now, Harvey Weinstein, he was one of them. And, like, so I'm not in the front row. I'm in that, you know, I mean, it's like the front row. And then you got the little space, and then the first row after that, like, so it's like the second row. And they were sitting there talking about, oh, now she acting like she don't know us. She wasn't saying that when she needed that part. Every single one of them hit. I was like, no, not Holly.
Yes, Holly. And it's not just Halle Berry. This is not just Halle Berry, a Halle Berry thing. All right. We're all familiar with the casting couch, right? In Hollywood, where, you know, people go to audition. And not always, but in some cases, in a lot of cases, I would say the majority of cases, from what I've heard, they have to perform some sort of lewd sexual act in order to get a certain part in a movie, or get a certain part on a TV show, or to get a record deal, or things of that nature. This is nothing new to hear this, but I think it's striking because a lot of times it's like, out of sight, out of mind. So we pretend not to know that these things are going on or taking place. But when you have that culture, that was that. And the reason I'm showing you this is because this was Hollywood, right? But now, Hollywood had. Hold on. I'm going to show you how much it is Hollywood. Hold up. I'm going to show you how much is Hollywood. Where is he at? Okay. I'm going to show you just how much is Hollywood. Cuba Gooding Jr.'s younger brother, Omar Gooding. All right. I'm going to show y'all Hold up. So check this out. Check out Omar Gooden and what he had to say about the casting couch. Check this out.
Even the casting couch, women sleeping with men to get roles.
Absolute. What? Absolutely. That's why you have some movies that are terrible, because they got the role because of the casting couch. It goes back to what I say about reading the room and people giving you that part, that role, that job, because they like being around you. You've got two women you want to cast for this role. One is a great actress, but she's rude. The other one is not a great actress, but she's fine as hell, and she'll get down however you want to get down. I think we're going to get a role to her. We're going to have, you know what I mean? It's going to be a better time being around her than this one. No, thanks. And then you get this movie and it's like, ooh, who casted her? She's pretty, but good Lord. The casting couch is derived of creeps. No. It's basically, sometimes people are in a position of power now that they weren't in when they were younger, and they take advantage of that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there's definitely that. And then when you hear about the people that have done this, that, or the third, it doesn't stop. So yeah, you can see it. Now, can I be specific? Sure. I know such and such, she did this, blah, blah, blah. Out of here. But just to answer your question, yes, totally believe in it. I mean, I don't know what the opposite is. I'm like, no, there's no such thing. People don't sleep around. Yes. Yes, they do. Very much so.
So you actually know women that slept their way to the top.
Sure. Sure.
So that's the casting couch. And to go back to what Gilbert Arenas was talking about, you know, Harvey Weinstein's antics were made public more so when they restarted the Me Too movement, you know, a few years ago, back in like 2019, 2020. And Harvey Weinstein was one of those people who a lot of the different actresses came out and spoke on. Now, ironically, Lupita, y'all know Lupita, damn it. I'm my bad, Lupita. Messed your name up, lady. But Lupita actually came out and said that Harvey Weinstein actually came for her, and he called her a blatant liar, talking about how he didn't go for black women. Now, you just heard Gilbert Arenas talking about him with Halle Berry. Now, maybe he meant he didn't go for dark-skinned black women, you know, because Lupita is chocolate and Halle is, you know, on a lighter hue. You know, her mom is white, father's black, you know, so that could have been what he meant. But he received no smoke from the sisters. Not one ounce, not one shred. He didn't get one iota of what Bill Cosby got. All right? Not one shred of, you know, vitriol was headed his way. And you know what the funny thing, too? For all the black men that was allegedly at that time out about the Me Too movement, nobody stopped going to Miramax Films. And for those of you who don't know, Weinstein and his brother, they were the producers, they were the owners of Miramax Films. Miramax Films had produced the first set of Marvel Comics movies with the X-Men. Nobody determined that they decided they wasn't going to, that they were going to cancel that. I just want to put that out there. Nobody determined that they were going to cancel anything. Epstein, Freudian slip, because Weinstein and Epstein were friends. But nobody ever said anything about canceling anything that man did. But that's neither here nor there right now. That's not tonight's topic or today's topic. But, you know. So, why am I bringing this up? Because like I said, this is no longer Hollywood. Now, I'm going to show you some things. Some deep and disgusting things that Hollywood has, you know, because it ain't just the women that this culture is about, because it also, men also were part of this too. And I'm not talking about the, you know, predatory part. I'm talking about they were preyed on, just like the women were preyed on and a lot of this stuff. This, we're getting somewhere with this. Just follow me. Just rock with your brother for a minute. We're getting somewhere with this. All right. So I want y'all to check out. Let me see. All right, I want y'all to check out. This is a conversation that was brought up in regards to, you know, the whole notion of a casting couch. Hold tight. Here you go. Wait. You know, how I am with this technical shit. I got to get a producer.
The headliners, the guy who make Hollywood runs like it does, right? Bring her to the upper penthouse tomorrow. So she thinking she getting ready to sign a contract. No, they want to pop her in her ass. And this is how they get down. They call it gravy.
If you do get hurt, well, that's just gravy.
Now, everybody, other people may know you from Gravy and your music career. Has this sparked the acting bug? Are we going to see you in a lot more roles following this?
Yeah, definitely. This is my newfound love. Music is my passion. And, you know, acting, I'm definitely getting ready to jump into it.
Okay.
That's a Hollywood slogan for people who just got popped in behind. Well, how did it go, man? How's your career going? Oh, I can tell you right now, baby, everything's gravy. But a lot of people that's got their letters on the fly. And they read all the literature. They have them in a nice little room or suite hotel. It's real elegant. They do it really nice. And they let you read that letter and they tell you what you think. I ain't got no problem with this. Okay, sign right here. Now, that's the beginning of the rituals of everything that's to come for you. All the doors going to open for you. All the doors are opening. He ain't ready for what they're going to hit him with. We want you to meet some friends, okay? I want you to take it personal because we know that you're about your business and you know how to make that dollar. It's all business. Don't take it personal when you see what's up, right? They take them in this room and there'd be 3-4 dudes on another guy. And he may know that dude in the business. They say, what you're about to see, nobody else know. This is part of the ritual. You are not to speak about this.
And see, that part that he's talking about, if you ever have watched, there's a movie out with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman in it called Eyes Wide Shut. Now, I forget the damn filmmaker's name, but the producer, he was a big time producer. He produced Rosemary's Baby, some other, like, you know, these cultish, like, devil worshiping movies. And Eyes Wide Shut was that too. So there was this big party that Tom Cruise kept trying to find his way into, this secret society club that he was trying to find his way into. And he was able to sneak into this club, this party, right? Well, hold on. Before I do that, let y'all hear the other part, because there's a second part to that one. Well, that's actually a part three, but I couldn't play the first part because it was playing some Rockefeller music and, you know, I didn't want to, you know, deal with copyright issues. So hold tight. I'm going to let y'all hear this part.
Transsexual, transgender, and they all, like, lapping this one cat. Right? That's the first test to see if you're going to buck. Why I'm telling you that? Because that's the first thing they did to Cat. They took Cat to all these private parties. Cat couldn't believe what he was seeing. Cat rebelled. Usually before they want to take you to the next level, they say, let's see what he's going to think when we take him here. A lot of dudes like, you know what? Fuck that. Ain't got shit to do with me. It's all about the money. Well, it ain't all about the money, because now what you saw done to that guy, it's your turn. And you're going to say, they're going to, hey, come on up in here. Nah, man, I ain't down for that. Well, do you think we're going to keep paying you $5 million a year? Do you think you're going to be honors on BET? Do you really think we're going to keep putting your name in lights? This is, read the paper, man. Read the letter we gave you. See the letter we gave you, right? Stop bullshit. You're going to do everything that we just did to him. Either you do or we're going to break you. What you mean you're going to break? We're going to take all your money out your account. Oh, man, this bullshit. I got my rights. Nigga, you ain't got no motherfucking rights. We run this bitch. We decide who's going to be a star, who ain't going to be a star, who going to be rich, who going to be poor. Nigga, we do all of those things. Ain't nobody no fucking star. We decide who going to be a star.
And that's what I'm talking about in terms of. So that part, like Cat Williams, the part that he's talking about. Cat Williams, like the Eyes Wide Shut party, right? So let me get back to what Tom Cruise has snuck into this party. Right, and I believe that Nicole Kidman was his wife in the movie at the time. I'm not sure if she was in the party. She didn't get into the party, but they figured he was in the party, and they were having, you know, this masquerade. They had the mask on, and they were doing the rituals and stuff like that. And by the way, the filmmaker that made this film, they told him that he needed to take like 30 minutes out of the film because it was revealing too much. He refused to, and the next thing you know, he ended up dead. You can't make this shit up. So when he did this, like, you know, when he made this film, Tom Cruise sneaks into this party, this secret society party. His whole life becomes haywire. These cats start following him around. They start messing with his job. He finds out later on that his boss was at the party. Like dude was like, man, no, I was at the party, man. I saw you. I saw what they, and they had him up there, like about to do like a ritual sacrifice on his ass. They about to get and sue his ass in front of everybody. So, and the thing is, like, I know people who know people. You might already know that. So I know somebody who's my people. They people was in some of these films out there, some of the big ones, the big franchises that you all kids got action figures for. I'm just going to say it like that. And while they were there, she would get into some of these parties. She was telling us that the Eyes Wide Shit is real. That these parties, these exclusive parties, be up on the hill out there in Hollywood. And that they had certain levels and certain rooms. And depending on what room you went into, what levels you went to, the kinkier the shit got. Now, she said she didn't partake in going to the upper level room. She said, but there was a lot of freaky shit going on, a lot of weird shit going on at these parties. I'm saying this stuff to tell y'all, right? This wasn't new. It was a documentary out. And for like the last 15 years, called Open Secret. Actually, last 20-something years, Open Secret. And it was about how these young Hollywood stars that we all got to, you know, watch, you know, especially if you were a 70s baby like me growing up. You know, if you watched the movie 16 Candles, a lot of those teenage actors, Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, River Phoenix, all those people were in those films. They were all child actors who were taught to be emancipated from their families. And then they would then become drugged out sex slaves for the producers of these films. And once again, Miramax was identified as one of the films that we're talking about. Now, fellas, it's like, yo, okay, this is a good history lesson, brother. But what does it mean? This is no longer Hollywood. With the advent of social media, what has happened is things that were once before out of your reach is right in front of you right now. And so, you know, we can get into the buck breaking that, you know, that they did with the men. That's not this conversation. Brothers, what we're going to talk about right now is the fact that the same rituals, the same soul snatching, the same sexual depravity, deprived acts that was taking place that was once upon a time exclusively Hollywood, exclusively the music industry, exclusively entertainment, is now in your reality. This is now on your doorstep. What we're talking about, these are your IG models. These are people you know. These are people that you see walking down the street that you might want to holler at. Have you checked out the porn industry lately? I know everybody's a prude. Nobody watches porn. Bullshit. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and you can have access to it on your phone. Stop playing with me. There used to be a time when you knew all of the females, all the women, that you knew all their names. And I'm going back into the 80s. I'm going back, you know, not quite, maybe somewhat in the 90s, before the advent of the internet as we see it today. Now, because people can literally upload sex on their phone, everybody, damn near everybody you want to holler at probably has a video out there. Sexually free, sexually liberated, but you're chasing them, but you don't want them to be sexually liberated with anybody but you. And this is why I call this the predatory hoe phase. Because what got a lot of the women in trouble with how they, and they may not think that they're in trouble, but when it comes, the reality is they're not able to sustain relationships. They're not able to when they're done having all their fun, they're not able to land with the man, you know, that they want and desire. He's not there no more. You can see it all over social media. Where are the men at? Where are the men at? All right. She got into, you know, this promiscuous lifestyle because it somehow benefited her. This became a transactionary circumstance. Pay to play. Even if it's not straight up prostitution. Look at what the women are asking for now for dates. Before you take me out on a date, you need to cash at me. What does that sound like? Oh, you need to spend at least $300-$400 on me. You need to pay for my hair to get done. Some of them are telling y'all need to pay for their babysitters. What does that sound like to y'all? And it started off because this is what they got hooked into. You know, before it would take a pimp to break a woman down like this. Now, the women that you're dealing with today, social media is their pimp. Instagram is their pimp. Watching all these girls go all overseas and take pictures in Dubai and all those different places, not knowing the things they had to do once they got there. I knew a sister, beautiful sister, right? She was getting offers. Her social media started blowing up, her pictures. She was taking, you know, those types of pictures, those revealing pictures. She's same age as me, taking these revealing pictures on social media, right? And I had a conversation with her. I say, so, you know, what was, you ever get one of those phone calls, one of those emails? She said, actually, I did. And I considered it, you know, because they were going to pay, like, you know, they were going to pay some racks, a couple racks for her. But then they gave her a list of all of the nasty shit she would have to do. She would have to allow them to urinate on her. She would have to allow them to defecate on her, defecate in her mouth, all types of nasty, vile shit. And this was just to go to Dubai. Yo, yo, yo. Well, I meant to go. Yeah. And she wasn't the only one that told me that, because I knew another sister too. And it's funny because how our paths met, you know, she actually ended up in my film. But she had told me about how she's beautiful. Like, you look at her, it's like this girl in the face. She's still a very beautiful woman. But she had told me about how she had started off modeling. And when she started getting into the modeling game, that the schedule was so hectic that she saw, like, her friends, like, people she was modeling with, they were starting to use drugs. They were starting to get coked up, speed, whatever, so they could stay awake because the schedule, they was insane, crazy diets they had to get on. And then the sexual sexcapades, all that stuff. So she got out of it. She, you know, she said before it snatched her soul, she got up out of there. You know what I'm saying? And her getting out of there, she got in, and she was like 17, 18 when she got out. But the reason why I say it's funny how I met her, because I knew a brother from Jersey who used to come to Black and Nobel bookstore, and he used to write those sex novels. And her picture, one of her modeling pictures, was on his front cover. Now, I'm like, yo, did you model for this? She said, no. What happens is you take pictures, you take stock pictures, and those stock photos get sold by the person who takes the pictures. So that picture got sold to that particular company, and they was able to produce the picture on, put the picture on top on the book. But it's just amazing to me, because this is where we at right now. And the fact of the matter is, it's so influential. You heard the girl on here earlier telling girls to get their hoe face out of their system. They're encouraging the girls to become hoes. And fellas, we all know there's no such thing as a hoe phase. Either you're a hoe or you're not. And ladies, y'all know that too. Y'all could play the game, but why is it that, you know, many of you have multiple hoe phases, if that's the case? You know, if that's the case. So, you know, the reason why all of this comes together, fellas, because this is who y'all keep. A lot of y'all want to become high value men because y'all misread or misunderstood the message of Kevin Samuels. When Kevin Samuels was telling you to better yourself, and he was talking about how you build your bank account, I think a lot of y'all just stopped there. When he was telling y'all that you need to, you know, that if you want to become this type of man that's available for these types of women, that your tax bracket is what was going to get you there. No, that was only one component of it. And two, y'all missed the biggest part, in which he said you should never make a woman your priority. Your priority, your focus in life needs to be your purpose. What purpose do you serve in life? You ask me, I serve the purpose of the Most High God. And one of the things that I serve in that purpose is to try to work for us to become better men, especially as Black men. You know, excuse me, I take a swig on that one. Refreshing. So, when you're out here building yourself up, a lot of y'all have become like the women you chase. A lot of you are looking for an aesthetic instead of looking at the values of a person's character. Y'all bypass all of that, many of you. And some of you brothers just want to be out here slinging your meat all around the place. That actually goes in opposition to what Kevin Samuels was saying in regards to being a high value man. That first thing he talked about was having penile control, penis discipline. if you don't have those factors in place and you're just out here chasing women, and let's face it, you're not strapping up, not for all of them. You're going to get yourself, yourselves are exchanging soul ties with these chicks. You have to draw it back some, brothers, and prioritize soul searching so you can seek a purpose, so you can find your purpose. Because you also play a role in the demise or the demising of the black male image when you're out here doing those proverbial acts. And you out there building yourself up financially, you want to be a higher, you want to be a Blue Henry, you want to be, what it called, the Henrys, almost rich, you're getting there, top 15%, brother. Listen, I'm a top 15% black man. I'm not out there slinging my, you know what I mean, out there everywhere. And a lot of it is basically at when you get to a certain age, you focus on peace. Now, I know for many of y'all, y'all are late bloomers. You didn't get a chance to experience some of the things that some of us did. One of the things is out there chasing tail. But this is what you're chasing. This is what you're ending up with. See, this whole, the thing that the Hollywood culture, that sleeping to get ahead culture, that's out here right now on the block. But they ain't trying to get a movie role. They're just trying to flex for a week or two. They're trying to get more likes and shares on their pictures when they post up on Instagram. They're gonna take a picture of the food that you bought them, but you ain't in the picture. Your head is cut off from the picture, B. You're better than that. And just like women, and the reason why I say this is the predatory whole phase is because women have access to sex. They're the ones, they're the gatekeepers for sex. Men don't have access to sex unless a woman gives it to him freely. Now, if he doesn't give it to her freely, it's not called sex. It's called rape, sexual assault. Those are crimes. I'm not talking about people committing crimes. I'm talking about people freely indulging in adult activities. And it's predatory both ways now. See, it was predatory in terms of how she used it. Well, in terms of how she was, what she had to give up for it. But now, she's commoditized. She's turning into a commodity for you. And many of y'all are stone cold suckers, sponsors. And you're falling prey to some sort of peer pressure that only exists as a figment of your imagination. If you were social crowds or you were the crew or with a group of brothers that prioritizing you know, going out there and spending your hard-earned cash and resources and time, effort, and energy chasing this type of dream, bro, you're going to get the nightmare you're begging for. So I know I went around the world and back again to make a point, but that Hollywood culture is in your living room. It's not on the screen. It's on your couch. And the same things you're talking about, the same demons that these people are dealing with in Hollywood, you're dealing with that plus some in front of you. Because take into consideration, the body counts of these Hollywood people and these cats in the music industry pale in comparison to the girl next door. Should hold me, say it again. Pale in comparison to the girl next door. And that's who you're laying up with. And when you can't figure out why she's sitting there, And the second she walks out the door, you're sitting there panicking because you don't know whether or not she's going to be faithful to you. Bruh. This is why you have to be, that's why you have to be a man on your purpose and focused on doing and making sure that the woman that you find likes you more than you like her. Because if you are infatuated with her, you're just one person, you're just another person on the list of her lovely admirers. So take heed, fellas, because like I said, it's no longer on the big screen. It's walking past your house. It's sitting next to you on the train. It's walking, it's right next to you, standing next to you on the bus stop. She's working in a cubicle across from you. And you're sitting there admiring her. Not just admiring her. You're sitting there going crazy over this woman. Losing your goddamn minds. Meanwhile, you be like, you was like taking a number at the, it's like taking a number when you stand in line at the deli or at your local butcher, you know, and like number 98. I don't know what y'all say, man. Man, you don't know what you're talking about. Y'all telling me.
Me personally, I wouldn't take this level of disrespect.
But take it as you will, brothers. Take it as you will. But what I will say is I want to thank you all for tuning in with your brother, hanging out in this Philly Friday edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones. And I always tell y'all to stay safe, stay out of harm's way, protect your neck, brothers, and war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.